Christ Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here tonight to begin a new study, so come on in, we're waiting for you.
It's been a couple of weeks now since we have been on, and we praise God for this new year that he has allowed us to enter into, and we realize that this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and so we will rejoice and be glad in it. We hope that many of you, as you are coming on, let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us and the sound is coming through okay. But we know that many of you have made plans for the new year and that you have started that process already. And here at Anointed Temple of Praise, we are on our first day of our fast and we're getting ready for our spiritual revival, celebrating 24 years of ministry in the Memphis community. And we thank God for how he yet has sustained us throughout this period. So let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in okay as we prepare for this time together tonight. This is an extensive study that we're getting ready to enter into, but it's going to be critical for us to get clarity and understanding as it relates to how God wants us to apply this book of Leviticus to our own lives. And there are some things that we'll see here that we can really carry with us and help us to be more in 2024. We can be more efficient in our service and more mindful of what God requires of us. And then it also gives us an opportunity to see what happened back in Leviticus and with Moses and the children of Israel and how they set many sacrifices in place for us in terms of the gathering and then some holy days that were established in terms of making sure that people understand the importance and the significance of being in proper relationship with God, particularly when it comes to offering our sacrifices to him and then presenting ourselves in such a way. Paul reminds us in, I believe it's Romans, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God wants us to present ourselves and offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And that's our reasonable service. That's our reasonable worship to God when we think about all that he's done and all that he's doing. And then when we think about how he's just sustaining us in this season that we're in. 2023 has come and gone, and this is the eighth day of January 2024. And so we praise God for bringing us over through danger seen and unseen.
Amen.
And through how he continues to keep us.
Thanks,
even
Jesus.
In the midst of everything that we've had to endure.
Yes.
And so somebody text us and let us know that you're getting a clear signal. We're having a problem trying to get lined up in terms of accessing the Facebook page.
We are getting a clear signal on the streaming side.
Okay, so we'll continue even with that. And then I'll let the powers to be know that we're having some technical difficulties. But let's prepare for tonight. We're going to look at just an introductory portion of Leviticus. And there's only, I believe, 17 verses in this first chapter. And we're going to see if we can't tackle that even tonight. Let's have prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for this day. And we thank you for our lives and for your Spirit's abiding presence. We bless your name and we yet give you praise. And so now, God, we pray for clarity and for understanding as we prepare to study your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you will open our minds that we might hear, and that our ears that we might hear, and our minds that we might comprehend what it is you're trying to say to us as a result of this study. We know that faith indeed cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we decree and declare that our faith is going to increase tonight, and that we're going to be better as a result of spending this time together. So God, we pray that you will continue to encourage us through your word, empower us by your Spirit, and help us to realize we indeed can do more in 2024. So we love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. It's in the name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
Somebody give God a thumbs up or let us know that you are with us tonight. And we're going to see if we can't find out what's going on with the Facebook aspect of our time together tonight. But Lady Kim, we have been off for a couple of weeks now. And we had a lot of ground that we covered over the past couple of weeks. Anything particularly or specific that you want to maybe share with us that you've heard the Lord speaking to you during the last couple of weeks?
That God is going to do amazing things in 2024 through ATOP and with ATOP. And so I just stand on tiptoe, excited about what God is going to do.
Okay. All right. So anything particularly you want to share with us about the service from Sunday?
Sure. Yesterday, again, you did a part two because I believe not yesterday, but last Sunday, you just did an introductory to your sermon. It's going to be big, and you gave out some statistics on some things that had taken place in 2023 with Anointed Temple of Praise. And what we can look forward to your forecasting for 2024. And so yesterday you got into that scripture that you were intending to get into the Sunday before that. It's going to be big, coming from 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the 7th verse, just that one particular verse that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. And that's a very familiar passage of scripture for many of us. We've heard that scripture over and over again. And you had several points that you lifted up. The first one was we have to step out in faith. Mm-hmm. And then we have to follow God's call. And then we have to trust God's plan. So we have to step out in faith, follow God's call, and trust God's plan. And so, you know, when we step out on faith, stepping out on faith sometimes takes a lot of effort. The Bible says that we only need the faith of a mustard seed and that mountains can be moved. And so that we know that we only need a little bit of faith, but sometimes we get so caught up in our problems and what's going on in our lives that we forget that God is an all-powerful God.
Okay.
And that all we need to do is trust and believe and hold on to that little bit of mustard seed faith, and he can move mountains. So we have to step out on faith, and we cannot fear. And that's what I think that very first point was. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Sometimes we are paralyzed by fear, and that prevents us from going forward. But we have to reach deep down, get that little bit of mustard seed faith, excuse me, to be able to run on to see what the end will be. And then you talked about follow God's call. We can't serve God without the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And so the Holy Spirit will give us the courage and the power to go forward. And the Holy Spirit has not given us that spirit of fear. So we have to go forward and remember that. And then you talked about how selfishness sometimes leads us to fear. Mm-hmm. You know, when we hold on to selfish motives and selfish motivations, when we try to hold on to things and not let things go, you know, then that leads us to fear, and fear holds us back and stagnates us. And then we have to seek God at all times, you know, in the morning, at noon, and even late at night. So we need to step out, and God will give us what we need in order to go forward. He'll give us even more than what we bargained for, even more than what we asked for. So we have to follow God's call and trust God's plan, because his promises, as you always say, are true, and his satisfaction is guaranteed.
Okay, that's a powerful recap of what we attempted to share on yesterday. And we praise God for clarity in the word. And I think that fear factor is key to helping us break free from anything that might hinder or hold us back from doing more in 2024. And a lot of times, as you just indicated, a lot of people are stagnant and they are fearful, but we have to be mindful that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And once we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, then we know that we are not doing things according to our own timetable, but we're doing it according to God's timetable and God's will and not our will.
Amen.
And we push that selfishness out of the way. Because, you know, Lady Kim, many times people are in the Christian walk to get what they can out of it and not really have that much emphasis on how it's going to affect other people or how it's going to benefit the body of Christ in terms of their efficiency and in their using their gifts to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what we have to really keep in mind that we can't not be selfish in terms of our gifts and our gifting, and we cannot allow the learning that we've received or the training that we've experienced not to be undergirded or fully vested by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that really gives us the victory. And so I'm so excited. We set some tremendous goals for this year, and the Lord has just been blessing and adding to the church daily such as should be saved. And even on yesterday, I tell you, a tremendous outpouring. And people are right there in front of us and in our midst that have all kind of issues and all kind of concerns. And they are hurting and they are going through trying to get a sense of what God is saying to them. And many times as people see me moving about and looking, doing the service, is that God has directed me to, you know, just sometimes it's just a touch. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's just a nudge, a little push to help people move to that place in God that will give them what they need in order to be free in Him.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
So are we getting a feed on the...
Not yet. It's still...
We're experiencing still difficulties.
Yes.
Go ahead and try to reset that and then see if we can refresh your page and see if it won't come back. But we're going to continue to move forward as we attempt to go through this first book of Leviticus and then get some background in terms of understanding, you know, the importance and the significance of this book. And we praise God for each of you as we still try to get these technical difficulties out of the way. But wouldn't it be just so that our first study for the new year, that the enemy would try to come in and distract and hinder. We know that as it says in John 10:10, that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But here's the important thing in that verse for me. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so it's right in line with what we're trying to do, because we know that the enemy comes to steal what Jesus wants to give.
That's right.
And so we praise God that we're going to have more, we're going to do more, we're going to experience more. Lives are going to be changed. People are going to be delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we believe for more in 2024.
Amen. More in 2024.
That's right. That's right.
More of God's grace, yes. More of God's love, more of God's mercy. See, some people are thinking more. They're thinking material things.
That's right. That's right.
You know, they're thinking selfishly. But if we have more of God's love, more of God's peace, more of God's joy, then the material things will come.
That's right. That's right.
They'll come in abundance.
And we won't get thrown off track when we do get blessed in abundance, because we know that we have done it the right way by seeking God's face and by allowing Him to order our steps and lead us in the way in which He would have us to go. And so when He does open the door, when He does pours out blessings, we'll know how to appropriate that in terms of using it for the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Well, anything else you want to share? Look like we're getting some people to join us. We had some technical difficulties as we started out tonight. I think the streaming side, they're getting a clear signal.
Yes, they're getting clear signal, clear visuals. So the streaming side is working well. It's just the Facebook side, but it seems like now that we've worked through that on the Facebook side.
Okay, and so we welcome each of you who are joining us, whether it's on the streaming side or the Facebook side. And then many of you perhaps hear this Bible study later and play it back later, even after we've finished. But Lady Kim, as we were preparing for tonight, Leviticus really gives us some fundamental things in terms of what God was requiring of the children of Israel. We know that he had dealt with Moses, and Moses was the one who was leading the children of Israel out of bondage. And we see that Exodus was the process in terms of them coming into the promised land and coming out from under the bondage of the Egyptians, and how they were trying to make sense of what God was requiring of them. And God starts out by letting them know that it's important that they get their sacrifices in order, and that worship is going to be a priority in terms of them understanding what God requires of them.
Amen.
What did you find out as you were kind of scanning through and looking at that during your time of study?
Well, I just really look at the first several chapters kind of as an overview. And what I found out is that there were five types of ritual sacrifices, and we're going to talk about those sacrifices in the first 10 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Two types of those sacrifices were to say thank you to God. That was the grain sacrifice and the fellowship sacrifice.
Okay.
And then there were three types of sacrifices that were saying I'm sorry to God.
Mm.
You know,
okay.
There was the burnt offering, the purification offering, and also the restitution offering. And they had to offer up the lifeblood of an animal. And that animal symbolically died in the place of that person.
Mm-hmm.
To atone for their sins. And to atone means to cover
okay.
their sins.
Okay.
And so it reminds us of God's grace and the seriousness of evil and its consequences.
Hmm.
So though that covers probably the first seven chapters.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say about that, because we're not going to cover seven chapters tonight. We're only going to cover chapter one. But chapters 1 through 10 talk about the sacrifices and the priesthood.
Okay.
And so we're going to get into that.
Okay. And that's good, because we'll find that there's a lot of relevance to how we can even take some of the applications from back then and apply them to our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because God still is looking for people who are willing to present themselves as a living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
And
yes.
I think even in Leviticus, Moses talks about the sacrifices, and it's really about a law of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And how, in order for us to really get connected with God in such a way, we have to yield ourselves to what God wants from us.
Amen.
And God wants us to present ourselves, and God wants us to apply biblical principles to our lives, because that, as we had a chance to see when we closed out Second Chronicles, that many times the leaders collapsed because they lost sight of God and what God was trying to get them to see, and they went astray. But if we stay focused, and that's critical for me, and I hope those who are listening and who are part of the fast understand that this is a time of consecration,
mm-hmm.
and it's a time of sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
and it's a time of us listening to what God is trying to say to us so that when we come out of the fast and out of the revival, we don't go back to what we used to do.
Right.
We don't do what we just came out of in 2023, but we press toward the mark of the yes. prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we have to be clear on that. And I believe that if we set ourselves in such a way to be obedient to the things of God, that we'll see a major turnaround in our situations and major increase in what we already have.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing about the book of Leviticus is probably just to set the standard or to set the stage. In the Old Testament, God was a holy God, just as he is today.
Mm-hmm.
God was a holy God, and his tabernacle or his tent of meeting or his temple, it was a tent back then, the tabernacle, right. was a holy place.
That's right.
It was holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are a sinful people, or because they were a sinful people, they had to have a way to be able to approach God and come before a holy God. And they just couldn't come into the temple. Only the priests were allowed in the Holy of Holies. And so God made a way for them to come close to him through okay. and to atone for their sinfulness and to be able to come into the holy place through the sacrifices. And we're going to mm-hmm. look at the sacrifices.
Okay, tonight. That's good, because as you were sharing, I was thinking about how important it is for us to not just come to our tent or our gathering place empty-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see that God required the people to bring something as a result of what he had done for them. And we know that Jesus, of course, was the ultimate sacrifice, and we don't have to go back now and bring bulls and lambs and goats
and doves
and all of that mm-hmm. in order for God to understand, for us to understand what God requires of us.
Right.
And I praise God that he sent his son to die that we might
Amen.
Have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And so, as you said, this sets the tone, and I think it's some applications here for us even as we prepare to read through those few verses here tonight. Are there any comments or any questions that anyone have at this time?
None.
Good to see each of you on tonight, and we praise God for this first Bible study in this new year, 2024, and we're right in the middle of the start of our 24-day fast, getting ready for a revival that's going to start Wednesday night. Somebody say Wednesday night.
Wednesday night
at 7:00 p.m. And I don't believe it's accidental or coincidental. I believe it's providential that God would have us to be in the midst of our fast and then going into revival and continuing the fast even after the revival. I think this revival is going to give us a kickstart, more momentum, if you will, in terms of what we're asking God to do in our lives. Many of you have various prayer requests. Many of you are seeking God to do something significant in your situation. And I believe if we be true to this word, there are going to be so many testimonies that
Amen.
We might just have to have a testimonial service
Hallelujah.
At the end of the 24 days of this fast. Because wasn't it amazing, even on yesterday, Lady Kim, how, we would normally do our anointing on the watch night service, and how people were not in a hurry, and how they were asking for covering, and they were seeking God, for them, God, to give them strength, and we were saying words of encouragement to them. And I tell you, when we align ourselves with what God requires of us, God will show up.
Yes, he will.
And he will show out.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he will show up big. Somebody say big.
Big.
And
big,
so we
big.
Praise God for each of you. And we hope that you will continue to be sustained during this time of fasting. I think the schedule, I don't know if they put it online yet or not, But those of you who are coming to the church Wednesday, you can pick up one of the flyers with all of the instructions in terms of what, you know, to read and time to pray. We're right in the middle of a time to pray tonight, mm-hmm. during this time of Bible study. Mm-hmm. And so really, when you talk about prayer, it's a connection with God, and it's making sure that you present yourself to God in a way where he hears your heart and he discerns what you are seeking. Many times you don't have to say very much, but you have to be in a place, in a position
to hear.
Mm-hmm. And so part of that has to do with prayer. Somebody said big.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then I had a call this morning with a clarification for the fast, but we, mm-hmm. we can talk about that at the end of Bible study. So
okay.
That'll be on everybody's mind.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. All right. Well, we're getting ready to jump into the first chapter of Leviticus.
Mm-hmm.
And Leviticus is really, it comes as a result of the tribe of Levi.
Mm.
And so mm-hmm. we know that this was the tribe where the priests were originated from.
Mm-hmm.
And he's paying close attention now, I believe it's to Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the other, Aaron's sons,
mm-hmm.
as they prepare to present themselves for what's going to happen with all of the offerings that are being presented in this first chapter.
Amen. And I think we have some notes here that I think are significant to mm-hmm. our beginning. It says, okay. The book of Leviticus reveals the absolute holiness of God and the conditions on which he may be approached. The address of the book is to a people already redeemed. No one who has not come through Exodus can come intelligently into Leviticus. In Exodus, we have the fact of the atonement. In Leviticus, we have the doctrine or principles in knowledge or the system of belief. The service of worship at the tabernacle was conducted by the priest, who were the sons of Aaron and assisted by many from the rest of the tribe of Levi.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Exodus gave direction for building the tabernacle, and now Leviticus gives the laws and regulations for worship there.
That's right. That's right. So God is specific here, and he's intentional about how we ought to present ourselves to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we follow that mandate and we follow that direction, because it really helps us in terms of understanding the law of sacrifice.
Right.
And sometimes I think we take that for granted and don't look at it as being that important, mm-hmm. in terms of the sacrifices that we are to make that's acceptable to God.
Amen.
And he's teaching the people how to offer acceptable sacrifices to him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says that the overall message of Leviticus is sanctification.
That's right.
The book communicates that receiving God's forgiveness and acceptance should be followed by holy living and spiritual growth.
Okay.
Now that Israel has been redeemed by God, they were to be purified into a people worthy of their God.
That's right.
And I think that's important today too.
Mm-hmm.
If we call ourselves Christians, then we should be living a holy life.
That's right.
A life and a life worthy of the God that we serve.
Okay. That's good. All right. Well, there are several offerings that he's talking about here at the burnt offering, particularly mm-hmm. in this first chapter. And there are 17 verses. You want to go ahead and begin reading, or are there additional comments that you want to share?
No, I can begin reading the burnt offering.
Okay.
Leviticus, the first chapter, verse 1. Where would you like me to stop?
Well,
I think there's no...
half of that
Just say stop.
Yeah, half of it would be, what, 7? No, about verse... No, my clothes coming all off.
About 10. Okay,
pull that over for me right there.
Which way?
I don't know which side it's
that's on. That side.
Oh, okay. I'm pulling the wrong side. That's what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's see where a good place is to stop.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Leviticus 1:1. Now the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Mm-hmm. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and its legs with water, and the priests shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. That's through 9.
Okay, that's a good place to stop.
All right.
I can't stop yawning. I don't know. I guess it's the rain. But no, I think that first verse is interesting because we see the communication and the conversation that God is having with Moses in terms of giving instruction and direction. And they call it the Tabernacle of Meetings, which really was the gathering place in for the children of Israel when they were preparing to worship God.
And it's interesting that God speaks to Moses through the tabernacle. Moses is on the outside.
Right.
God is on the inside, as from what I gather, speaking out. Because it's the very first verse says, the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Right, right, right.
So God is speaking to him. And I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
That caught my attention right away.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a definite descriptive process that God is trying to establish in terms of what he expects of the people and how they are to present the sacrifices to him.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Verse number 10. Would you like me to continue?
Anything else there in those first 9 verses that you want to...
Well,
I keep trying to fix my shirt, but I'm not going to worry about it.
No, don't worry about it.
All right.
Because that's a lag. You're well, I don't know.
I don't know what that is. Yeah.
You want me to fix?
Yeah,
you want
go
me
ahead.
Straighten
yes,
you
ma'am.
Up?
Thank
he
you.
Wants me to straighten him up on camera.
Thank
okay.
You. Thank you.
Let me fix you.
Oh, there you go. You got it. Right. Oh, you're going to pull my chain all out now.
I don't know. This t-shirt ain't right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what something ain't right through there.
All right. That'll
okay.
work.
All right.
That'll work.
All right. Y'all didn't see that. Just
sit,
rewind.
Just sit real still.
That's
like,
right. Just sit like this and don't move.
Don't move.
Like I'm in the corner. Yeah. In class.
Oh, Lord, you a mess. Where were we?
See,
we were talking about the sacrifices,
right?
Right.
And we were talking about how should we move on to the next 10, that started verse number 10.
Right.
Because this is really important, the first 9 verses that you've already shared with us. It's key in terms of what God requires, and we can't say that enough, because God still requires us to present acceptable offerings to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a different mandate because the ultimate sacrifice had not yet been presented.
That's right.
And now that even though it was the tabernacle, or what did they call it, the tent of meeting, tabernacle of meetings,
mm-hmm.
We call it some call it the temple, some call it the church, some call it the house of worship, you know, the house of prayer. But whatever that gathering place is, that's where we meet God, and
mm-hmm.
we should present ourselves in such a way that it's acceptable to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And It was interesting again to me that the burnt offering had to be an unblemished male.
Right, right.
Which symbolized that we know now Jesus.
Mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm. he was sinless without, the Bible says, without, well, for this animal, without spot or blemish.
Right, right.
And so if the burnt, if his burnt, if his offering was to be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, this is the third verse. Mm-hmm. It says, let him offer a male without blemish, and he shall offer it of his own voluntary. That means of his own free will.
Right.
You know, he wasn't coerced into bringing it. He wasn't told to bring it. He wasn't made to bring it. This had to be of his own free will. So,
And we can't lose sight of the fact that when you look at this is almost like your first fruit, mm-hmm. your best fruit, because a male was of high value in terms of the commodity for selling back then, and people would normally want a male of whatever species it was to continue the reproduction process. In terms of, you know, whatever that animal might be. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so for them to offer the male without blemish and without spot and without wrinkle, then that was a significant sacrifice, mm-hmm. because it was a costly sacrifice. It cost them something, and it was not something that they couldn't just go get a raggedy male, you know, one out of the back ground, but they had to present the very best one. Mm-hmm. And so I think God still wants us to present our best and the first fruit of our offering to him. And it's sometimes it's a sacrifice, mm-hmm. because so many other things come up and we want to end up giving God what's left and not giving God what's right.
Amen.
I wish somebody would help me tonight. That's a word right there, because a lot of us are giving God what's left. And we're not giving God what's right. And God wants us to give him what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the very best belongs to God.
Yes.
Because after all, there was nobody but God who made it possible for us to have what we have and to do what we do. And so we ought to be willing to submit ourselves in such a way back to God and by presenting our best to him.
Amen.
All right. That's my little sermon for tonight. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be quiet and let you go ahead and finish.
Want me to read?
Yes, ma'am. You want me to tell you to read 10? Like they did?
No, I
You got it. You
yes.
got it. You
All
hooked
right,
me
verse
up, Reverend.
10.
You got me straight.
Did I?
Yeah.
It's coming loose. Don't wear that shirt no more.
I know, right? I had my sweater on.
I didn't see it. Okay, so verse number 10. If his offering is of the flocks of the sheep.
Let those know who are just perhaps coming on where we are.
We're in the book of Leviticus, the first chapter,
okay.
verse number 10.
Mm-hmm.
If his offering is of the flocks of the sheep or of the goats, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. Again, there has to be a male without blemish.
Right.
He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar, and he shall cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. And it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice of his offerings to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. And he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place of ashes. Then he shall split it at its wings. but shall not divide it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord.
Okay. And I think you see the presentation aspect of this whole chapter being established, and the sacrifice and how important that is. As we've already indicated, sacrifices that were acceptable to God, and that we cannot just present God anything in any kind of way, because God has been better than that to us. And so this whole burnt offering was really signifying the purging of sinful acts by those who were getting ready to enter into worship. And I think for us, it has to do with our pursuit, if you will, of moral purity, and how God wants us to be holy and pure in terms of our presentation.
Amen.
Yeah. So I think you mentioned earlier it was about holiness.
Yes.
This chapter.
Yes, and sanctification.
Sanctification.
Right.
And how this was established way back then. And it's a principle that continued to come down through the corridors of history and give us clarity in terms of how we should present ourselves to God as well.
Amen. And, you know, and it, like you said, it talked about the specifics of the offering. Mm-hmm. It just couldn't be anything.
Right.
It couldn't, it didn't say bring a flamingo.
Right.
It said bring a turtle dove or a pigeon, and they had to be without blemish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't say bring a giraffe. It said, you know, bring the bull for the sanctification, or which one was it? But it, you know, and it talked about specifically how it should be killed and cut into pieces. It talked about the flock or the sheep or the goats, you know, and how it had to be cut a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it said you couldn't split it in half. You know, it had to be cut down the middle and laid out, you know, flat. But it couldn't be cut in half. So a lot of specifics here for these offerings, for the burnt offerings. And again, you know, these three types of offerings: the burnt offering, the purification offering, and the restitution offerings. And all of those offerings were to say how sorry they were to God for their sinfulness.
Okay. So it was a purging of sinfulness in terms of their preparation for worship. And so Paul again tells us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable act of worship, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so many times when we start losing sight of what God requires, we start looking at the world and not at this word. And it throws us off track in terms of how we should present ourselves in a meaningful way, particularly in our worship. You know, people, they come now expecting something to happen when we ought to already be prepared for God to move by having ourselves fully, you know, ready for a move of God, rather than coming and waiting for a move of God.
That's right.
We should already be prepared for God to do something, because we're prayed up. We have already been getting ready for what is about to happen and not waiting for something to happen.
Right. That's good. Because our focus has shifted for our expectations at church.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we're coming expecting to, we're looking for something.
Right.
We're looking for something to move us.
That's right.
Or shake
that's
us.
Right. When we're looking for the right song and all of that. Yeah.
When we should be going to give.
Right.
To repent. To receive a word that will make us better and not bitter.
Right.
So we should be bringing something.
That's right.
And in as a result of bringing something, we will be able to take something away.
Absolutely. And it starts before we get to the house.
Right.
And so a preparation takes place even on a Saturday night and even throughout the whole week. And by the time you get to church, you know, if your song even is not being played or the choir is not singing your song, you already know that God is doing something powerful because you have already brought that expectation with you to the house and not waiting for something to happen when you get in the house.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Pastor, in relationship to our sins, how can we make this applicable to our sins and our sinfulness?
Well, I think it's back to what we've already talked about, how we have to make sure that we ask for forgiveness and we ask God to create within us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. And many times we don't do that. That act does not happen before we get to church. And we get there and we expect all of this miracle move of God to happen without us even asking or repenting or confessing. The Bible says we but confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And so many times we don't do that. So the preparation, and I think this is part of what we see happening here in this first chapter, is God is asking them to be fully vested in what He's about to do in their situation and presenting an acceptable sacrifice that will bring glory and honor to Him. And then He's going to do what He's going to do. He's going to shine the light on us in such a way that we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was nobody but God who was able to bless.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sister Gwen says something interesting. She said we should treat our church visits just like we do our bank visits. No deposits, no withdrawals.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't go in the bank if you're having the thing to... in there.
You can go in there.
Yeah.
You're not going to bring nothing out if you don't have nothing in there.
That's right. That's right. That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking that many times we go into worship, we go before God, and we go with our wish list.
Okay.
Or our to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
That God is somehow our cosmic bellhop in heaven to go do this and go get that and go run here and go do that.
Right.
And we don't even ask God to forgive us of our sins.
That's right. That's right.
So when we come before God, again, this tent of meeting or this place, it was a holy place.
Right. Right.
And today we don't treat God's church as a holy place.
Okay.
You can tell that by people breaking in and stealing. You know, years ago when I was a child, you wouldn't
people
dare
scared to even touch the doorknob.
You wouldn't dare break into a church.
No.
You wouldn't dare smoke on church property.
Uh-uh.
You wouldn't dare drink on church property.
You're going in somebody's house.
Now. And I remember a time where you didn't dare touch the communion table.
That's right.
Nobody touched the communion table.
It was sacred.
It was sacred. It was, you know, my grandmother would
have a...
Oh, my goodness. Don't you dare lean on that communion table.
Yeah, yeah.
And so God's house was treated as just like the tent of meeting in biblical days.
Mm-hmm.
It was a holy place. It was where people came and met God. And it was a place where people came and were delivered and set free. And now we just treat the church any kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's a process of us making sure that those who understand continue to hold up the blood-stained banner and not lose sight of, because there's so many references I was thinking about as you were talking, how the house of worship has been, forsaken in terms of the holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, You know, there's a lot of talk on, and this is a whole nother, I don't even want to go down that, with the bishop in Atlanta. Yeah, mm-hmm. And how they really, a lot of people thought that he just desecrated the whole house in terms of not being holy in reverence to what the house represents. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what the whole process was all about, but it happened. And he's gaining momentum in the world, but we're called not to be the world. We're called to be in this world, but not of the world. And that's what back what we were saying earlier about how important it is for us to be not conformed to the standards of this world. And God wants us to continue to look at the sanctification of those things that are reverence to him. Mm-hmm. And how we need to maintain some kind of dignity and honor and not lose sight of that and just let anything happen in the house.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I think we have become more like the world, mm-hmm. trying to capture people. And, you know, there's a thin line between a lot of the things that we...
The outreach and the evangelism and right. how we're trying to grasp the world through means that the world is already accustomed to. And that's why, we can't speak negative about anybody,
right.
but we can just observe what we have seen. And we probably saw some clips and not the whole process.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, too, yeah. that things sometimes can be taken out of context.
Right.
You know, I remember when Barack Obama was running for president, mm-hmm. and they took a clip of Reverend Jeremiah Wright's sermon.
Right.
That clip was certainly taken out of context.
Right.
You know, if they had played the whole sermon, they would have understood.
Yeah.
what Dr. Jeremiah Wright was saying in that whole sermon. Yet they took a small clip and then they tried to use that clip against Barack Obama to try to keep him from winning the presidency. But you know what? It didn't work.
It didn't work.
And so, like you said, we have to be careful that we only saw a small portion
of
what happened.
Yeah.
We don't know the entire thing. So sometimes I say, you know, if it's bringing them into the kingdom and it's a solid word, you know,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know. When Kirk Franklin came out saying, yo, Jesus, yo, Jesus, yo, I kind of had a problem with that at first. But those young people flocked and began to understand about God and his word. And so we have to say, yo, Jesus, that's just another way of saying, hey, Jesus, what's up? You know, then if that's the way to bring them to Christ, then let them come. Mm-hmm. It's not my way. It's his way, you know.
Well, the part of it, and you're right, part of it is that the message remains the same, but many times the methods in terms of how we witness and how we win the loss has to be modified.
Okay.
You follow me?
Right.
And so if you go into an environment where you know that some things that you do and some of the language that you say is not going to work, then you have to meet them where they are,
mm-hmm.
and be able to witness to them. Because I believe that the Spirit will draw and it will attract those who are longing for something that's missing in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and something that's a void in their situation. And God can use us even in situations where it doesn't appear to be a holy environment to bring people out of that situation and bring them into an environment where they can get what they need in order to be complete in their understanding about God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know our time is getting away from us, but I was thinking about, just like with the motorcycle club that Whitmore is involved in, you know, back in the day, that was not even heard of for people to be engaged in that kind of activity and thinking that it was going to be something good coming out of it in terms of a spiritual component. But people are hurting all over the place. Everybody needs something. Everybody needs to be encouraged. Everybody is not what they appear to be on the outside. And just like the illustration that I think Dr. Butler used, we see just something on the surface, but when you look underneath, it's all kind of stuff that's happening and going on. You Amen. Have a couple of comments there.
Yeah, Dr. Q had a good statement. She said each generation has its own way of reaching the ones that follows. Mm-hmm. Sometimes tradition and contemporary don't work well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. And so we don't know the whole picture, mm-hmm. the whole story. You know, we just saw the clip and people ran with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, we talked about tradition, like when I was saying we couldn't touch the communion table or lean right. on the communion right. table. Right. That was tradition.
Right, right.
You know.
Right.
But we have to move sometimes from tradition and really research what it was all about and bring it into the contemporary world.
Yeah, the methods. The methods mm-hmm. Is what we're talking about now. But the message has to remain the same. And he probably preached a strong word that night. Mm-hmm. They got there before they even cut loose and started doing the buck, huckabuck and all of that. He probably preached a strong word that night. And, you know, they were already in the house,
right.
you know. So that may have been planned, but, you know, no, they were already there. They were there for a word.
Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that we can take away tonight is that God's house is a holy place.
It's a holy place.
Holy means set apart.
That's right.
Holy sacred. Means sacred.
That's right.
You know, holy means unique.
That's right.
And so when the house of God or the tent of meeting is unique, it's a place where we meet God. We have to be careful how we handle the
That's
things
right.
that
That's
we
right.
do
That's right.
in the house of God.
And so what we've talked about even tonight, Lady Kim, as we're preparing to close out, is that God was setting in order the importance of the sacrifice and how it had to be a sacrifice that was acceptable to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with us even today. God still has a standard that he set mm-hmm. in how we should present ourselves even when we come to the house and how there should be some purging of our sins and the acts that we have committed before we get there and asking God to create within us clean hearts and renew right spirits.
Amen.
Yeah. But you got another comment.
They said not the huckabuck.
You don't even know about the huckabuck. So you weren't born when the huckabuck was out.
Me either.
All right. Well, you said you're going to share something about the fast.
Yes, yeah, someone called and asked, you know, they said that they didn't see on the fasting calendar where they can eat fruits or vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, sometimes we do such a good job of presenting what we want that we forget that we're leaving something.
Right, right.
Something that we think is common knowledge,
right,
so to speak. And so the fast is mainly fruit and vegetables. If you're going to eat meat, then it's just chicken, fish, tuna, no red meat at all.
Right.
You
right.
know, no fried foods.
No bread.
No bread.
Sugar,
no sweets.
Cut back on your sweets.
You know, no
sugar.
Sweets.
Right.
So, but the fruit and vegetables is our main source.
Staple.
Yes. Source of food, of nutrition.
Right.
They asked if we could eat beans and lentils. I said, yeah, beans and lentils, that's where you get your protein.
Yeah.
Since we're not eating the meat. And so we just wanted to make that clarification.
Okay. Okay. And I think the fast is already ended in terms of your consumption of food at
yes,
6 o'clock.
Yes, at 6 o'clock. Yes.
Right. Until 6 tomorrow.
6 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, from 6 to 6.
Right. So you have to go ahead and get your meal in, like your soup or your salad or your piece of fish or whatever you're going to, you know, use in terms of your beans and your vegetables and that kind of thing before 6.
Right. And so I missed it. I went to the store and bought a lot of fruit and vegetables and bought some salmon. I was planning to cook some salmon tonight. But then I looked at the time. It was 5 o'clock. I said, well, by the time I cook it.
And go to Bible study.
We're not going to have time to eat. So juice it'll be for me, liquid, nothing solid until in the morning.
All right. Okay. Well, our time has been well spent tonight, and thank God for each of you. And do be mindful that our revival starts, of course, on Wednesday night. We're looking forward to Dr. Rush coming and blessing us. And then on Thursday night, Pastor Marquise McPherson and the New Bethel Baptist Church will be our guests. And then Friday night, Minister LaShawna Williams and what's the name of the church?
Mount Olive
Baptist. From Little Rock. And so, and her husband, of course, is the pastor. And so we're looking forward to having a great time in revival. It seems like it came a little early, but it's usually the week before the third Sunday. And I think we're right there because this second Sunday coming up, right?
Yes.
And so when we close out, it'll be the second Sunday instead of the
third
Sunday. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Lady Kim, any prayer requests that you received?
I did not receive any, but we want to continue to lift up Mother Roxy Briggs in our prayers. Brother Thomas Doggett in our prayers.
That's right.
And right now, I can't think of anybody else, but I'm sure you guys can remind me by putting it in the chat. Sister Antoinette Martin lost her cousin, and that funeral was held on this past Saturday. And so we want to continue to lift up Antoinette and her family in our prayers.
Okay. Well, you ready to close us out tonight in prayer?
God, we thank you and we bless you and we honor you tonight. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. God, we thank you for your word on tonight. And we ask, God, that as those who sacrificed in the Old Testament of the different animals, we ask, oh God, that we sacrifice through the fast on this week. And that as we sacrifice through the fast, that we remember your great sacrifice, God. We ask that you would keep us through this 24-day fast, that we seriously pray, meditate, and study on your word, and that you will reveal to us the things that we need to do to change our lifestyle, to be more holy and righteous, to be more sanctified, and to do that in which you have called us to do. We ask that you would touch the bereaved tonight and comfort them.
Yes, God.
Touch all the sick that are on our sick and shut-in list. And we ask, oh God, that you would continue to touch our pastor, touch our church, give us everything we need in order to go forth to be all that you would have us to be. We lift up Brother Charles Reynolds to you. We lift up Sister Pat to you, God.
Thank you, God.
And we ask that you would heal their bodies. We ask that you would continue to be with Sister Lena Jackson tonight, God, as she continues to struggle with health problems. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless and keep everybody in our congregation as we continue to go forward to do your will. We thank you for allowing us the opportunity to do ministry in our community. Continue to stretch us and grow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's going to be on and popping.
That's right.
That's the Gen X version of the Hucklebuck. That's what Dr. Quali said. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Bible study.
Hope to see you Wednesday,
7 o'clock p.m. Good night.